Welcome to worship at Advent today. The beautiful plants and flowers here are from Velta Sanborn's homecoming service yesterday. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Please join with me in the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts, for as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel, the prophet, is identified in tradition as a priest exiled to Babylon 6 centuries before Jesus, 600 years before Jesus. During the wars that would eventually lead to the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, Ezekiel warned the people that God would punish them for their wickedness by taking away the covenant that they had given them from the promised land. In these verses, the prophet hears God's warning that God does not desire to punish his people, but wishes that they would save their lives by turning back, repenting from their evil ways. Ezekiel 33. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so this may sound a little more informal than King James for sure. Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. If I announce that some wicked people are sure to die, and you fail to tell them to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I will hold you responsible for their deaths. But if you warn them to repent, and they don't repent, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. You are saying, our sins are heavy upon us. We are wasting away. How can we survive? As surely as I live, the sovereign Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn, turn from your wickedness, O Israel, people of Israel. Why should you die? This is the word of the Lord. This morning's psalm is part of Psalm 119. It's on page 3 in your bulletin. Let's read responsively. Let's read in unison. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. I shall keep it with all my heart. Make me go in the path of your commandments, for that is my desire. incline my heart to your decrees and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from watching what is worthless. Give me life in your ways. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which you make to those who fear you. Turn away the reproach which I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The second lesson this morning continues in the book of Romans. This is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. This also is from the New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew. In the Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, we heard it said that if you know someone is in error of God's will in their behavior, go and confront them. If you don't, their blood is on you. I will still deal with them, but if you know and don't say anything, I will not be happy with you. In Paul's paraphrase, and in Romans, live in peace with one another. At the very end of verse 21 in another translation, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But sometimes good requires confrontation. And in the lesson from Matthew today, Jesus talks about that. And it's very unusual because he uses the word church before there is church, ekklesia in Greek, starting at verse 15 in Matthew 18. If your fellow believer sins against you, go and tell him in private what he did wrong. If he listens to you, you have helped that person to be your brother or sister again. But if he refuses to listen, go to him again and take two or three people with you. Every case may be proved by two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen to the church, then treat him like a person who does not believe in God or like a tax collector. I tell you the truth, the things you don't allow on earth will be the things God does not allow. And the things you allow on earth will be the things that God allows. Also, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about something and pray on it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. This is true because if two or three people come together in my name, I am there with them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This morning I want to take you into that gospel reading. It's a very unusual set of scriptures that are in the lectionary for today, but they very much talk about how we're to live. The context of what Jesus said in Matthew 18 here is really important. Right before it, he had said, if you're missing a sheep from your flock, go after that one sheep, because that one sheep is important. And then right after, in another setting, Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who offends me or sins against me? And in one translation, Jesus says, forgive forever, in another 70 times seven. So the concept of confrontation is going after a lost sheep, but always doing it with forgiveness in mind. So that's, to me, what's so important. In our culture today, we live in a very divisive, highly confrontational culture. Communication can be really challenging for us. How do I confront without offending? How do I speak the truth without alienating? I want to take you back to some of my premarital experience. I have premaritaled hundreds of couples over the years. And one of the things that I talk about when we get to the area of communication is learning how to fight well. If you're married, you're not laughing. The concept is that you will have disagreements. You will have misunderstandings. I love the question, have you had a fight yet, to an engaged couple? If they have not had a fight yet, they're not really ready for marriage, because a part of coming together is learning how to disagree and stay knitted together. And that doesn't happen at the first fight. At my first church, I was going through that concept, and this young buck, who was about 20 years old, wore a straw hat, and he said to me, why do I have to listen to you? And I said to him, you don't have to listen to me. It's just that your future bride's father and mother are paying for a big wedding at my church. Yes, and if you want to have it here, you need to listen to me. Oh, okay. So I did have some authority. But it's a fascinating thing how we disagree without alienating. When Tammy and I were first married, when we started to talk about children, it was a shock to me. During our courtship and engagement, we said to each other all the time, sweetie, whatever you want, I don't care, I just want to be with you. And then something happened when the ring gets on the finger. I discovered that Tammy had opinions that were different than mine. They weren't bad, I was just shocked. Differences of opinion about finances, about discipline of children, about the number of children that we would have, about where we'd go Friday night. And I deeply loved her, but my question was, what changed? It was a part of, we had gone from courtship now to intimacy, where we needed to work together and communicate. And that's a challenge in every family, but it's also a challenge in church. And that's a part of what Jesus is talking about. If I see something in your life that I know is against God's word, I have a responsibility, according to Ezekiel, but I also have a responsibility to walk in love and forgiveness. We are heading into an election, And members of Advent will not agree politically on every issue. I saw this just recently out in the area where we live. One neighbor had a large Biden sign in the lawn, and another had a large Trump sign. And my question was, do those two families interact about their differences? Sometimes a political stance can be very alienating when God's word is that we are not to alienate one another, but we're to come together in forgiveness and in faith. And it can be a shocking thing. I want to speak about some guidelines, but starting with three areas or levels of personal standards that are so important: absolutes, convictions, and preferences. And they're very different, but they're in our lives every day. First, there are absolutes that are based on God's word. Every absolute has to have a scriptural reference or confirmation. Things like, in governing our behavior, things like the Ten Commandments, things like sexual immorality, homosexuality, and abortion, they're all spoken against in the Bible very clearly. So those are absolutes. Those aren't negotiable. Absolutes don't change. Culture changes, style changes, but absolutes never change. So that's where we begin. When we come together as a fellowship, we come together because of things that don't change, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we want to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him. And the absolutes are what the Bible defines as that is appropriate behavior for Christians. The second area is convictions, and these are things that ideas that are highly held, but that can change from time to time. Things like disagreements, perhaps about alcohol, about smoking, about gambling, about a vegetarian diet. Early in our marriage, Tammy and I had recently become Christians. We felt that our children should not participate in Halloween activities because they honored the devil. Many, many years later, when our kids had their own children, they did not care at all. They thought it was just about candy and dressing up. We change. After I left seminary and we got settled, I very much enjoyed wine in the evening. And when we had three kids, the youngest was about three at the time, my son, who was in elementary school, asked, "Daddy, what are you drinking and why can't we have it?" And it made me think a little bit. And I talked to my brother about it, who was also a new Christian. In light of the fact that we had two uncles in our family who committed suicide because of alcoholism, my brother and I decided jointly that we were going to abstain from alcohol during these years of raising our children, which went to about 20 years. We did not want to incline them toward that. No conviction that alcohol was evil, but just for the sake of our kids, we didn't. Then when they were gone, I went back to especially wine with my meal. It's not an evil thing. It was just a conviction that I had that I should not drink right now. Whether I did or not, it's not a biblical thing. It's a personal decision. Then there are preferences. A preference is a matter of personal taste or habit. They don't have any scriptural basis at all. Clothing styles. Do you remember, those of you who are my age, do you remember pants that were called bells? That if it was raining and there was a puddle, you had about water up in your pant legs about this high. They were great. I had all kinds of them. I had plaid bells. I loved them. But today they'd be laughed at. Clothing styles change. Music likes and dislikes are different. I'm sure the playlists on my phone are different than yours. It's a matter of personal preference. You are here because you prefer an Episcopal form of worship. It's one of many different ways to worship the Lord. One is not better than the other. It's just your preference. Leisure time activities, how you spend your time. It's your choice. It's what gives you comfort. The challenge is when a church body begins to say, you have to do this or not do this to be a Christian. The absolutes are for everyone, whether it's denominational leaders or pastors or members. These are absolutes. But when it comes down to other things, there are churches that will say that you cannot drink alcohol or you cannot dance and be a member of this church. That's fine, but those aren't absolutes. Those are preferences or convictions. And if that's not you, then you don't belong in that church. Now, here's the thing that's so important. We are not saved because of what we do or don't do. We are saved because of what Jesus Christ has done. And when I come to him as my Lord and Savior, I want to please him from my heart, but also with my behavior as a way of being grateful and also as a way of being a witness to other people. And that's where absolutes, convictions, and preferences come in. This is why I live this way. When you have disagreements with one another, whether you're confronting a person, the goal is always to reconcile. If you see biblical sin in my life, according to Ezekiel, you're responsible to come and share that concern with me, that you believe that I'm in error. You don't have to come and share a concern about the length of my pants. That's a preference. But we have accountability and responsibility for one another. Because of the inflammatory atmosphere in our world today, it can be challenging to confront because we don't want to alienate. But yet Jesus says we have a responsibility to one another. If a sheep is lost, go after it. If a friend offends you, forgive, but don't just put it to the side of the road. Deal with it and get back into relationship. But it's always done in private. To me, that's one of the big takeaways from that scripture. Some of the things that I have seen over the years in ministry is this. I will be concerned about who's in the back row. That's Rumpelstiltskin. I'll be concerned about some of his behavior. And I'll go to Bun and say, Bun, would you pray with me about a concern I have about Rumpelstiltskin? Totally different from what the scripture says. The scripture says that I go and ask him about what I see. I may have misunderstood entirely, but I don't share it with anyone. I go and speak to the person with whom I have a concern or possibly an issue, and hopefully it is resolved. Either he hears the Holy Spirit through you, or you find out that you misunderstood. And then if it doesn't get resolved, then the steps are there about going further. But here's the thing to me that is so important, that we don't gossip, we don't talk about others when we have a concern about someone else. I have the world's best example of this. If you remember nothing else from today, you'll remember this example. This is literally exactly true as I'm telling it. We were in the child rearing age. Our children were young. We had three at the time. And two different ladies came up on a Sunday morning and congratulated me. And she said, "We're so happy to hear that your wife is pregnant again." And I was stunned, because Tammy hadn't told me. But what I said to the people was the truth. That is really a miracle, because 3 months ago I had a vasectomy. It was not based on truth at all. It was based on someone's thought that they communicated as a fact. That was fun. It didn't hurt anyone. But rumors can be highly hurtful. And it's important that when you pray for someone. For example, we have a prayer list at Advent that is there by request. You don't want to come to church some morning and find yourself on the prayer list to your surprise. We honor privacy. So I encourage you, one of the greatest enemies of the church is gossip. Go alone with the person, confront with the person. You don't want to lose a brother or a sister unnecessarily. A challenging part of reconciliation is that we still don't compromise standards. We don't compromise biblical absolutes because they haven't changed. As times gets increasingly challenging for Christians in the world, we need all the more to be unified and committed to the truth that is revealed to us through the Bible. So we have boundaries. We understand this is what it means to live for God. This is what God expects. And if we live outside of those boundaries, I'm opening myself up to trouble and to attacks. And in many places in the world, Christians are under severe persecution. We can be tempted personally to compromise our faith to avoid conflict or to not confront what we see as sinful behavior because we don't want to alienate. And the Bible says we need to do that. We need to care so much for a brother or sister that we will go privately and confront. Now here's where I want to end with a scripture from Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Styles change, preferences change. The music that you're listening to today was not probably the music you listened to in the 60s. Our preferences change, our styles change, our haircuts change. Oh yes, there were days that my hair went below my shoulders. Oh, those were the days. But styles change. What doesn't change is the Lord and his word for us. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, change not. We change how we live, what our values are, but the absolutes never change. It's what makes us different from the world, and it allows us to be witnesses to other people for why we live and how we live. So I encourage you this week, reflect on how you are in dealing with brothers and sisters when there are struggles. Reflect on how you are living on the basis of the absolutes of God's word and not compromising there. Compromise on preferences and convictions, but never on absolutes. The Lord bless you this week. Let's stand now together and confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Prayers of the people this morning are Form 6 on page 5 in our bulletin. Let's pray. In peace we pray to you, O Lord. We pray for all people in their life, daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
We pray for this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
We pray for all who are in any danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
We especially lift up this morning those on Advent's prayer list on the back of our bulletin. Let's lift up in prayer Ed and Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Marcia, Dave, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Bruce, Joan, Stacy, Rose, Art, George, Shirley, Lucille. Pray for Friends of Advent, for Tony, for Father Lutz, for Betty, for Ken and Jim, for the Eliza Jennings residents, for Liz, Pastor Joyce, Stella and Tina, residents of the Pinzone Towers, two of whom have COVID. Will, we pray for safety for David and Rachel. We pray for the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
We pray for Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other pastors and ministers, and for Pastor Paul. We pray for the special needs and concerns of this congregation. Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died. We pray especially for Velta, for Velta's family and friends, that she may have a place in your eternal kingdom, and that we all may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon us. This morning we'll continue our prayers leading up to the September 26th National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. And the prayers this morning are from prayers provided by the organizers of that session on the 26th. These are prayers for repentance. Repentance is a renewing of the mind that produces a 180-degree turn in our hearts and minds. It is not a one-time occurrence, but a way of life. An unbeliever doesn't have a repentant heart towards sin, but a follower of Christ believes God's word and walks in a reverent fear of the Lord. What God requires for true repentance is an admission of sins we've committed, the will of God we violated, and to walk in the fruits repentance brings, which are joy and freedom. Pray during this time for a zeal to have a repentant heart for the wrongs we have committed, both individually and as a nation. We have several passages here. Let's read them in unison. We'll pause at the end of each and reflect on the book from the Bible from which that is drawn. Let's read together. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. From Psalm 51. Next, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. From Mark. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. From Romans. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. 1 John. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. 2 Peter. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In the book of Acts. You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O Lord, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you do not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Psalm 85. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Book of Acts. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says: in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Isaiah. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Joel chapter 2. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3:7. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. From the book of Revelation. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Deuteronomy. And finally from Daniel, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. Amen. Let's pray together for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Now take a moment and greet one another from a distance. Binoculars might be in order.
So I bet you didn't realize you were going to have a reading assignment this morning, huh? Those prayers are convicting. So today we are welcoming the return of our participation in Holy Eucharist. We will come forward and receive bread only. We'll form a single file coming up to the altar The ushers will release pews by pews as normal, and we'll Paul will place the bread in our hands, and we can either consume them by removing the mask and putting the mask up, or you can take the bread back to your pew and consume it there. This is something that we've all been looking forward to, and so it's a step forward in our return to what we hope is a more normal way of worshiping on Sunday mornings. You know, as I was sitting there listening to Paul's sermon this morning about how to deal with those who you're in conflict with or are in a disagreement with, I've had some interactions with Bishop Hollingsworth this past week, positive, constructive interactions, but I've had to remind myself that he loves the Lord just like we love the Lord, and whatever views and opinions we may have that are different, we are called to respect and love and stay in communion and companionship with one another. So it's a life lesson learned again this week by me. And so, Paul, I thank you for the sermon, that message, and a reminder of how we are to treat those with whom we may have some disagreements. Remember, leave your kneelers down so that Jason can know when he comes through to sanitize after the service. He'll know which pews were occupied. There will be someone to pray with you and back during Eucharist. Peace be with you.
First Sunday of the month, it's our practice to bless those who have birthdays and anniversaries during this month. Any anniversaries here this Sunday? I didn't see any in the newsletter either. How about any birthdays? Any folks here with a birthday? Oh, why don't you stand up, identify yourself, and the date of your birthday. Bill, did I see your hand up?
The Lord has seen fit to grant me 89 years, for which I am very, very.
As we like to say in India, holy cow. Judy? Wonderful. Anyone else? I need to have my eyes checked again.
Today is my birthday.
Wow. Have you planned something special?
We already did last night.
All right.
Kids.
Let's pray a blessing on those folks. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks for the gift of life that you give us, and also reminding that each day of our lives is in your book before there's one of those days. We pray blessing and peace upon these folks, O Lord, that during this next year they would draw closer to you physically and spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to participate in the Lord's Supper, if you're not comfortable coming up to receive bread, that's entirely a personal decision. Let us now present our offerings to the Lord. And as Peter brings them, let's share together the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I have a high regard personally for the body and blood of our Lord, but I guess we need to also do that. Let's continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, creator of the light and source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your praise. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took the cup and he gave it to them and said, "Take and drink this, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, to be, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all of your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, The gifts of God are for the people of God. I encourage you to come in faith and receive. Body of our Lord given for you.
Amen.
The body of our Lord given for you. And the body of our Lord given for you. Okay. Receive the body of our Lord given for you. 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 We need the body of our Lord given for you. We have the body of our Lord given for you. Max, the body of our Lord given for you. Cynthia, the body of our Lord given for you. Karen, the body of our Lord given for you. Jim, the body of our Lord given for you. John, the body of our Lord given for you. Ron, the body of our Lord given for you. Bill, the body of our Lord given for you. Sharon, the body of our Lord given for you. The body of our Lord given for you. Body of our Lord given for you. Bill, the body of our Lord given for you. Judy, the body of our Lord given for you. Congratulations on your birthday. The Lord bless you guys with health and peace in Jesus' name. Last but not least, the body of our Lord given for you.
Last but not least.
The body of our Lord given for you. Dick, the body of our Lord given for you. Yes. Did I hear every hour I need you mixed in with that? That's an old hymn that I heard pieces of in that music. Let's join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace that comes only from Jesus guard and keep your lives this week. Amen. Folks, go expectantly with peace and serve the Lord.